Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you can open it up. We're going to go with the Amplified, Romans 12, verse 4. Last week, I started to speak to you about encouragement. Anybody remember that?
Yes.
We spoke about what?
Encouragement.
Encouragement, the ministry of encouragement. And, you know, many of us are here today because someone encouraged you to come to church. Did someone encourage someone to come to church today? If you're okay, good. Can you tell me who encouraged you to be in church? Come on, give the Lord a hand. Look at that. Wow, beautiful. Someone else, you got invited by someone? Okay, our sister here. Wow, Sister Karen, beautiful. Come on, we're encouraging people to come to church. What about you, sis? Google encouraged her. Come on, give Google a hand. We love Google. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we all got here through someone or something. You see that there? Amen. So, you know, always thank God for the people that brought you to Jesus. Be grateful for them. Praise God. Let's all stand as we read together. We're going to read from Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Amen. All right. Let me just back up a little. Last week we spoke about how Jesus encouraged the disciples. When he was on his way to die on the cross, he didn't just leave them because he knew that it would have been a very trying time in their life. So he spoke words of encouragement and he said, listen, don't worry, you're going to have many trials, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Sister Yavella came up here and she testified of how what? Sickness or a diagnosis was about to discourage her. But she encouraged herself with what? The promises of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word. Every word. We need to stop living by what we think, stop living by what we feel, and understand God has given us a prescription for our life. And he has already diagnosed us. And I want to tell you, the devil might call you broke, but God called you blessed. The enemy may want to call you sick, but God called you healed. People may want to say all manner of labels on you, but you need to find out what the word of God. What the word of God says about you. The devil want to call you fearful, but the word of God says, for I have not given you a spirit of what? Fear and timidity. But what do you have? Power. What do you got?
Power.
What do you got?
Power.
Shout power.
Power.
Loose him in Jesus' name. Shout power.
Power.
And a sound mind.
Power.
In Jesus' name. Power, I got love. Power, love, and a sound mind. All right, the word is up. Are we ready? Verse 4. Just as in one physical body, we have how many parts? If you have your hand, lift it up. All right, that's your hand. Right? If you got your eyes, blink your eyes. You got your mouth, open your mouth. And say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Right? If you got a heart, check if it's beating. If you got lungs, take a deep breath. If you got your feet, you can move them. You got your fingers, you can snap them. And if you got your ears, hear what I'm saying. How many parts? How many parts?
Many.
If you got nice hair, do a little flip. It's part of your body. If you got your wig, set it. Are you with me? How many parts?
Many.
How many parts?
Many.
How many parts?
Many.
Many parts. Now look at your neighbor. Your neighbor, I didn't say anything, I said just look at them. Check them out. Right. That person is a part of the body. Hello? So, as you look around, do you miss some of the parts of the body? Some of the folks are not here today. For whatever reason, They're not here. So what? They're not here. We miss it. Just imagine your hair didn't show up today. You woke up and there was no hair on your head. You woke up and there was no eye. You woke up, there was no nose or no lungs to breathe. Every part of the body is important. Every part of the body is important. Now, Sister Karen is there and she's saying, speak, Pastor. Whenever I see her in church, I feel good. Because what I'm going to talk about, she actually has this ministry. She's someone that encourages me a whole lot. I don't talk to her often, but whenever I see her, there is something that comes out of her mouth that encourages me. So when I see her, I feel good. Amen? Praise God. But you know what? She benefits from the online ministry. When she's not here, she's always online, always watching, always engaging, always saying hello online to let us know that she is there. So what? She encourages the people on the media team that somebody is watching. Six of them, but she's one of them. Amen. Praise God. All right. So how many parts do we have?
Many
parts. And these parts do not all have the same function. How many hearts do you have? How many hearts do you need? Exactly. They do not have the same function or special use. So we, somebody say, so we. Who are many are nevertheless just how many body? We are many persons in this room, but we are one body. What unifies us, or who? Jesus unifies us. Amen? We are many, but nevertheless one body in who? Christ. And individually now look at this, we're one body, you know that, but then we all have individual gifts. And that's what we're going to talk about. And individually we are part of how many? One another. One of another, mutually dependent on each other. Verse 6. So, just track in there, we need each other. I said we need each other. All right? Good. Verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace. Now, this is what, now our service in the kingdom, we all are graced differently. We're all graced in different areas. Imagine if all of us was a heart. We'd all be beating. Bup, 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 bup. And we're not reaching out to anyone. We're not helping anyone, right? We're just staying alive. No, we have different graces given to us. Each of us is to be used, just rather use them accordingly. If someone has the gift of what? Prophecy, let him speak a message from God to his people in proportion to the faith possessed. Verse 7. If service, now this is a gift of service. In the act of serving, let him serve. Or he who teaches in the act of teaching. Verse 8. Or he who what? Exerts or encourages. In the act of encouragement. He who gives. You see this now? Giving is actually a gift. Because there's some of us that will only give our tithes and maybe an offering. But then there's some people that are ready to generously release because they are givers. Right? Okay. With, how should they give? With what? Generosity. He who leads, with what? Diligence. He who shows mercy in caring for others, how should he do it? With cheerfulness. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give it a praise. We give it a glory. We give it an honor. We give it a thanks. Thank you for what you're going to speak to us by the Spirit of God and what you're going to use me to speak. I pray, God, you'll speak life to the hearer. Let lives be changed, transformed, and let maturity come in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. So, last week we spoke about ways that we can encourage. We said we use our words. Jesus used his words to the disciples to what? To encourage them, to prepare them for what was ahead. Now, you and I have a responsibility to use our words to encourage people. The Bible says what? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And as I look around, I see quite a few guests today. That means someone went out and told someone about Jesus. The greatest encouragement that we can give to someone is to tell them about the love of Jesus. I said the greatest, the best thing you can ever tell someone is to tell them that Jesus loves them. And God has a plan of redemption and a plan of salvation. And he has already made a way for them to be saved and to receive the gift of eternal life. Next, we have a duty to encourage each other. The words we speak to each other should lift up. Now, the word at its core, encouragement, is to uplift. The word encourage is to what? Uplift. You come here every week. The goal of the people that come on this stage is to encourage you. Sometimes you can be encouraged through correction. Even when the word of God corrects us, what it does? It puts us on the right path. That is encouragement. Are you with me? So when you come to church, our goal is to encourage you. So we use words to encourage. What else we use? We use our presence. Our presence. I just told you when I see Sister Karen, what? Her presence encourages me. When I look in the congregation and I see all of you, your presence encourages me. I was in the back this morning and I was looking at the live stream before I came out and I saw Kyria and I was like, oh my God, she's in church. I felt good to see her here. Amen? So your presence can encourage someone. You walking with me? So, and we spoke about, we ought to, when we show up, if someone is celebrating, we celebrate with them. When someone is mourning, don't go and play loud music at the people's funeral. You mourn with those who mourn, and you rejoice with those who rejoice. Someone invites you to a wedding, how you ought to go? Nice and proper, look very good, and if they're dancing, you dance with them. And you celebrate moments. So your presence makes a what? Difference. And it adds to what is happening. Are you with me? Are you hearing me? Is the member working? Okay, praise the Lord. So, and the next way we encourage is what? Word, presence, and service. When you serve, you encourage others. And we looked at Acts chapter 6, where there was a crisis in the church, where some of the widows were being overlooked. What did they do? They found people to serve them so that they will not be discouraged. So when you serve people, when you serve someone, you ought to encourage them. And know that your service encourages others. You come to the door, the ushers are there. What are they doing? Hoping to give you a smile, hoping to touch your heart, to encourage you. They encourage you way before I come up here. The worship team encourages you before I come here. I am late to the show. I am late to the show. The first people you see at the door could either encourage you or discourage you. Ushers, you got a lot of power. Greeters, you have a lot of power. Don't take your job lightly because you are impacting lives for the glory of Almighty God. So even in your service, do it differently. But today, I want us to look a little deeper and we're going to use an example of someone in scripture to shine light on the gift and the ministry of encouragement. You know, in churches today, prophecy is glorified. Prophecy is glorified. People love prophets. People love explosive ministries. And I think even some folks, when you're inviting them, you tell them, come to Faith Church. If you're sick, you're going to be healed. And people want to see that. People want that. But what about the other ministries in the church? We can't be prophesying morning, noon, and night. When somebody's hungry, we can't prophesy to them. We got to feed them. Are you with me? Somebody's naked, I can't prophesy clothes onto them. I can't speak healing and clothes show up. No, we somebody got to care for them. Hello? Hello? Am I talking to people? So there are other gifts that must happen. It says if you're going to show mercy, you got to show it with cheerfulness. Think of Mother Teresa, left America, went to Calcutta to live in the slums among the poorest of poor. That's not even dirt poor, that's below dirt. And how did she do it? With joy. Never complaining. But having an impact. Because she did it. When she showed mercy, it was with joy. And she was able to get the world to rally around to see what was happening and the conditions that people are living in Calcutta based on how she served. So whatever, the Bible says, whatever your hands see to do, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And no. It's a rainy day outside. And the rain followed us to church. But we're going to deal with that rain right now. All right, we're going to look at someone by the name of Barnabas. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. And we're going to see a man that was an encouragement in all aspects of life. He was an encouragement to the believer. Then he was an encouragement to the great apostle Paul. And then he was an encouragement to a church down in Antioch. We're going to look at those three things today. His name, we know him as Barnabas, but his name was actually Joseph. And no one really knows him as Joseph because what? Barnabas embodies who he was. Barnabas embodies who he was. You could name your child John, Elijah, Jeremiah, Matthew, and end his last name Jesus. But yet he's a thief. He will not be known by those names. He'll be known as a thief. You could give a child the best name and even the best education, but then they become someone that steals cars in the neighborhood. Guess what they're going to be known as? A car thief. Your fruit is what you're known by. Your fruit, the fruit of your life. You see, talk is cheap and talk is light. You are known by your actions. The things that you do reflects the heart. The things that you do reflects the condition of your heart. All right, let's go. Acts chapter 4, 36 to 37. And it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called what? Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. Just imagine who he was. He was an uplifter. He was someone that picked people up. When you encountered Barnabas, your life could have never been the same. You probably felt hard-pressed, felt like giving up, felt like you're not going to make it. But once you encountered this man by the name of Barnabas, you all of a sudden feel pumped up. And you say, you know what, I'm going to make it through. I'm going to press through this with the help of Almighty God. Nothing that comes my way will be able to take me. And why you met this man? So he was now known as a son of encouragement. Look what he did. He was not just an encourager by word, but he was an encourager by action. Verse 37, it says, he sold a field he owned, and he brought the money. What he brought? He brought money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, at this time, the church was young. It was the early church. It was the early, early days of the church. And they were a community that was outcast. Because anything that is new, people are now, oh no, we can't mess with those people. They were counterculture. They were counterculture. I want to tell you today, the church is still to remain counterculture. Because the culture is going in one way, but Jesus says he is still the way, still the truth, still the life. So everyone, the church was being persecuted by the religious class, and the political class hated the church. Because at this time, the church was in the Roman Empire, and they expected Caesar to be God. They treated Caesar as God. In the Roman Empire, you couldn't worship anybody but Caesar. He was the name that was supposed to be above all names. But here, there came a man by the name of Jesus, and he was the revelation of God in the flesh. And then he died, was buried, he rose again, and he was witnessed by about 500 people at one time. So now the disciples went around and they were preaching this gospel that there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. And not only that, the Holy Ghost came and the prophecy from the book of Joel was fulfilled. Where what? The Holy Ghost shall come and all flesh. He will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. So all of that happened and the new church was founded. The church of the new covenant. And they were now building from ground up. Because no one wanted to help them. No one wanted to support them. Even family members disowned people. Because they now became followers of Jesus. So you know what had to happen? Those within the church community now had to help each other. And here we see Barnabas. He did not say, you know what? I have a piece of land, but that piece of land belongs to me. You see, a lot of times when we get blessed, we look at our blessing and we say, it is mine. When God has been good and faithful to us, we say, this is my money. But here we see, Barnabas said, you know what? My brothers and my sisters are in need. It moved from word, it moved from presence, and it moved from, what was my third one? Service, to now it moved to generosity. And he said, my brothers and my sisters are in need, and this land that I own here can make a difference in their life. So what he did, he sold the land, he brought the money. You know, the Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If your money cannot come to the work of God, it says that your heart is not really about the work of God. If you're struggling with your money to give it to God, you know, I was sitting there and I opened my phone to calculate my tithes because I like to tithe when I tithe on that day and I put the date up to this day. So when I get paid in the week, every time I get paid, I send a tithe. Ask the people that count the money. I send sometimes tithes 3-4 times a week. I don't care if they get confused, I'm sorry. But I just want to give God my first. Every time I get something, I want to make sure God gets the first. I don't want to pay a light bill. I don't want to pay my car note. I don't want to pay my mortgage. Let that wait. Many times I sit here not knowing how I'm going to pay these big bills I got to pay. But you know what I do? I tithe first. Because the word says, seek ye first. Seek how? It looks like the church didn't really pay their light bill this week. The church is hot. It's still summertime, guys. Put on the AC. Seek first the kingdom of God. So that's my thing. So I there's a customer that owes us quite some of money. And, you know, I was planning, I'm going to go on ChatGPT and I'm going to write a stern email. These days, I don't even have to think what to write. I just go to ChatGPT and I say, I want to say this, that, that, and that. And I get a beautiful email. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, all of you use it, but you don't want to say amen. You all want to seem so smart and intelligent. But God bless you. The Lord says, he's my helper. And he's put ChatGPT right there to help me. All right? So I was thinking I'm going to send this email off first thing in the morning. When I opened my phone to give my tithes, I saw way more money in my account than I had. And I looked at it and I saw green. I said, praise the Lord! You understand? So you got to have a heart condition. It's a heart condition. You want to be an encourager? You got to encourage from your heart. This man said, you know what? I got some extra stuff. I can part with this one for the honor and for the glory of God. Because when I give to the house of God, what does it do? It empowers the church. It empowers the church. It's, listen, I went to the hospital last night to pray for someone. And I told a lady, I said, three of us went, myself, Pastor Cher, and Pastor Dahl. And we said, we're from the church and we're here to pray for some person. You know, they only want to sign up two people. The lady asked me, where's my collar? I said, excuse me. I said, anybody could put on a collar and come in here and fraud all of you guys. Anybody can come in and pretend to be what they're not based on look. I said, we're here to pray for this man. She said, oh, you have your Bible in your hand. I said, yeah. And I said, guess what? I want to pray with you too. She said, I need some Jesus. I said, there ain't some Jesus. It's only Jesus. You can't get some Jesus and some of the world. The Bible said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Make up your mind to walk with the Lord. But I said to her, I said, the church is the most powerful organism on the earth. The church is the most important place in the earth. We build companies and we want our companies to do well, or we work at different places and you want it to do well. But who knows? The church of God must do well. Because when the church does well, people do well. When the church is healthy, people are healthy. When the church is strong, people are strong. Because who are we? Members of one body. Many members. Different gifts. So the man said, you know what? I have an extra piece of land. I'm going to sell this land. And you know what he did? He took the money and he put it at the apostles' feet. He did not look back to see what they did with it. Some people give tithes. And they want to know everything. That's not your business. The Bible says every man must stand before God and give an account for what he has done in the body. So if anybody misuse, if you ever bless somebody and they misuse it, it is between them and God. You have a gift to a church or an organization and they misuse your funds, it is between them and God. But you did your part. You know what you're going to get? Your blessing. You know what you're going to get? Your increase. Because you obey. You what? Obey the word of God. So the man said, I'm going to sell this land. And he brought the money and he put it there. Because it will make a difference in somebody's life. It'll make, we do toys, right? At Christmas time, simple. Simple gesture. But you don't know who you're encouraging. You don't know which family. Sometimes we think about just the child. But what about the father who couldn't afford Christmas? What about the mother that could not find a gift for Christmas? We live in a nation of plenty where even folks who don't have big money can have a lot because so much is available. So much is available. But for overseas, where folks are living on sometimes the least, you know, you want to know how blessed you are? Travel outside of America. You want to know how good we live in America? Go to a third world country where things are hard. That's why missions are so important. People go on mission trips to serve in Central America to see what life really is. You know, the kids here, they have so many toys. So many. When I was growing up, every year I got one toy. I tell you guys this every year, but it's true. One toy. One police car I get every year. And all it does is wah, wah, wah when it spins around. And when it hits something, it spins around, it goes the other way. I have no control where it goes. It's a nice toy. You see? Yes! But that's what we had. That's what we had. That's why we seek to encourage folks with a toy. And you don't know how far it goes. And we send a little message to let them know that Jesus loves them. And this comes from the church of God. So here, the man brought had an extra land. He sold it. Many of us, you might say, Pastor, I don't have lands, but I got earrings. And I see my sister have a little shabby earring she's been wearing to church for the last couple weeks. Or you've been going to work and you observe someone, they got their ears pierced, but they can't afford to buy an earring. Maybe they're down on their luck in this season. You know what you can do? You could take that earring from your house, package it, and say, hey, sis, I brought you a gift. Simple as that. What you gonna do? Wow, this is for me? Yes, it's for you. God bless you. We can encourage in so many ways. You see a child in the church, their hair is messed up. You got skills, you can braid hair. Say, Mom, can I braid your child's hair? Simple things. Be a blessing right where you are. The man didn't wait to have a whole lot of stuff. He had land, he sold his land. Are you with me? So right where you are, become an encouragement to someone. Let that ministry flow in you. Why do you think Jesus fed the people? He cared for them. He said, where are they going to get food at this time? He said, it's late. Put them to sit down. Let me show them who is in their midst. The miracle worker is right here. He said, what you got? They said, we got 5 loaves and just a little couple of fish. He said, bring it to me. And he gave thanks. And the power of God hit the bread. I want to tell you, when you give from your little, the power of God goes with it. And it makes a difference. Don't look at it as the least. God bless you with it. It is blessed. Lord, help your people to see who they are. Help them to understand what it is they have. My God, give them a revelation that this ministry can flow through them in Jesus' name. He brought the money. Imagine, people who didn't have food now had food. People who needed clothes got clothes. Somebody probably needed to pay their taxes. They got money to pay their taxes. He didn't get tax return, but he had land. He gave from what he had. Amen? Praise God. Next, let's go to Proverbs 11:25. It says, there is a blessing when we're generous. A generous soul will prosper. That's what the word says. A generous soul will prosper. And he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I want to share this with you. You think Barnabas did not get more land? based on the promise. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Whatever you release is what will come back to you. Whatever you release is what will come right back to you. That's why you can't give bread and expect money. What you sow is what you reap. Be not deceived. Somebody say whatsoever. Say whatsoever. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. So whatever you sow is what you can expect. So if you need financial breakthrough, start sowing seeds. Start sowing seeds. Start sowing seeds. Start, the Bible said, cast your bread upon the water, and it shall return to you in many days. Start sowing seeds. Put seed in the ground. Put financial seed. Put, you see a need in your church, you look around, you're like, Pastor, how can we do this? How can we do this? How can I pay this? There's a lady in here, she comes every couple months. She's like, Pastor, can I get the light bill? And one month she got the light bill was like $2,000. Was it $2,000, Pastor, or $1,000? Close to $2,000. That's not the typical light bill. But that's what she asked for. You think she backed down? No, she increased her faith. And she says, I'm going to pay that light bill. And guess what? God bless her. And she did it. What do you think she's going to reap? Money. God will test us in many ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When God wants to take you to another level, he got to try you. Yeah. I said, when God wants to take you to another level, he's going to try you. Amen? Somebody say, I'm going to come out as gold. I'm going to come out shining in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 22:9. A generous man will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. That's exactly what he did. He had a piece of land, he sold it so that others, their living condition can improve. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, God used the same Barnabas who encouraged the poor. Now, he was faithful over there. Now, time passed, years passed. A man by the name of Saul got saved. And if you know anything about Saul, Saul was not anybody to be around. Because he was a religious zealot and he was passionate for his religion, which was Judaism. And he believed in the old covenant. But here, there were these Christians over here living in the new covenant. And they were living by faith, drawing from the grace of God and the mercies of God and walking in the power of the Spirit. And he said, this is contrary to what I was taught. Under Gamaliel, I was brought up in the best school. This is contrary. So his job was to eradicate the people. His job was to kill because he was there when Stephen got stoned to death. He was a part of it. He stood there holding the clothes of the young man that stoned Stephen to death. He was imprisoning, dragging them off, not coming like, come sis, would you come? Come. You come. Stand here. I need two police officers. Any police officers in here? Anybody want to feel like a police officer? Come. Yes, come. I got one. Anyone else? I need one more person. All right, there we go. Now, when the police officer comes, what he does? Yeah, he thinks you're suspected for a crime, X, Y, and Z, whatever, whatever. He comes and he arrests you, right? How do they normally arrest somebody? All right, you're getting arrested. Put your hand. You arrest her over there. Nice. That's decent, isn't it? Listen, I've been arrested before, okay? I went in the back of the car and I did the cry and everything, okay? It was very embarrassing. I thought my life was over. But yeah, my license was suspended and I got arrested. I am actually a criminal. Yeah, based on the law, it was a criminal law to drive. No, it's not even a misdemeanor. Well, maybe it is, but it's like some criminal. I had to go to court. Infraction, that's the word. Thank you. Infraction, thank you, Jesus. Amen. It was not a felony, okay? But when the guy arrested me, I started to cry. I'm in the back. The police officer turned around. He said, "You're a good guy, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He encouraged me in that moment. He said, "It's going to be okay, but you got to go to court, blah, blah, blah." Now, my identity was stolen. Somebody used my license. I didn't even know I had all those tickets until the cop told me, "Step out of the car. Be careful with your stuff, okay?" So, this is nice, decent arrest. Now, take them. Go. Right? They're going to lockups. They're going to prison. Now, you can't take your phone. You're under arrest. That's why you see now. Hold on. That's why sometimes you see the police got to fight some people. They are not cooperating. All right, so give them a hand. Good now. Hold on. No, they're not done. Come back now. Let me show you what Paul was doing to people. Him and his guys, they were not arresting you in a nice way. The Bible said he had letters to drag the people. To drag them. To bung them and drag them to prison. And I could picture, you know, these guys, they were powerful, right? So they had the temple guards with them who was a powerful force. So when they come for you, they grab you. Right? Can I pull you a little? All right. So you move with me. Come here. So they're just dragging him. Anyhow, if he falls on his face, it's okay. If he gets bruised, it's okay. Better the sport. Thank you. Maybe seated. Now, that's the man. You might say, oh, they did that. No. Men or women. Now, drag her. Right? That's it. All right. Thank you. You saw it last night? Wow. So, there we go. They were dragging people off to prison left and right. But Paul had an encounter with the living Christ. When he was on his way to Damascus, he had all authority in his hand. He had letters ready. And he had the okay to go into Damascus and drag people off to prison. The Lord met him on the way. The Lord met him and he had an encounter. And when the Bible says the light, it was noonday, but the light was brighter than the sun. You see, that's why I said this morning, these lights cannot compare to Jesus being the light of the world. When he's ready to shine that light on you, my God, your spiritual eyes become open. And here is big bad Paul. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" In that moment, he knew that it was God. Because he studied that God. He preached that God. If you read the Old Testament, it will tell you about the radiance of God and his light. They said, "Let there be light." And there was
light.
It wasn't sun. There was light. The light came forth from him. There was no moon. The light came forth from him. And he lit the dark earth. So he said, "Who are you, Lord?" So Paul got saved. And you would think, that is it. But who knows, if you got robbed on the street last week, and then you came to church and you see the man dressed up in a suit. Better believe you're going to try to find another seat. Because if you rob me once, okay, but rob me twice is my problem. So no one wanted to touch Paul. Let's look at the word. Acts chapter 9, 26. And when God used Barnabas to form Paul and affirm the work that the Lord did in his heart. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried. Somebody say tried. to join the disciples. But they were all what? They were what? They were all scared of Paul. They were probably saying, you know what, this is a setup. They're putting him as a plant in the camp to find out what is going on. They were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple because they were looking at his past. But who knows, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. All things are what? All things are what? All things are what? Passed away, and all things are become new. 27. But Barnabas. You see, there was a situation. But here's a turn in the story. There was a man by the name of Barnabas. But Barnabas. Nobody was going to touch Paul. But Barnabas. No one believed Paul. But there was a grace on a specific man. There was a grace on a man that was operating, that was beyond fear, that was beyond intimidation, that was discerning enough to know that this man is saved. Every grace in the kingdom has purpose. Every grace in the kingdom has its purpose. God doesn't make mistakes. I said, God does not make mistakes. That's why the man that prophesies is not greater than the one that encourages. Because it's all for the kingdom. For the encouragement, for the advancement of the agenda of God in the earth. Read. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. So he said, you know what? Don't bother with these guys that you're trying to join, because they were apostles and they were disciples. You see where he brought them now? Brought them to the top. He brought them to the one that were in charge. The ones that walked with Jesus. The ones that knew had the spirit that he probably had, that could discern whether a man is really saved. So they said, don't worry with these guys. They're rejecting you. You come with me. Let's go to Peter, James, and John. Let's talk to the big guys at the top. And he said, and he brought him to the apostles. Now, you can't have access in circles if you do not have a reputation. Somebody should write that down. You cannot be respected in circles if you do not have a reputation. Last week we said when they were looking for people that would serve, they were looking for men that were blameless, men that were full of wisdom, and men that were full of the Holy Spirit. So we could check all these off based on the circle we see. Barnabas was a wise man. He was blameless. He had a good report. And what else? He was full of the Spirit of God. He took him to the apostles. And he, look here. Look who's talking. The encourager in chief is talking. The encourager is declaring. And he declared to them how he had seen. Now, Paul is rather talking. How he had seen, rather, back up there. Paul is talking. He now declares his testimony, correction. How he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name. The same place he was going to draw the people out to persecute him, God turned the agenda around. So he was going to arrest and bring distress, but he went into the city and he brought freedom and he brought joy and he brought life and he brought hope and he drew men out of hell and put them into heaven. But God used Barnabas, the encourager, to affirm. God used, we all know who the Apostle Paul is now. But he was a man called Saul. That was a man by the name of Saul. But he became Paul. Now, it might be just a Hebrew versus Greek thing, but it's a change of name nonetheless. There was Abram, then there was Abraham. When God changes, when God looks at you, he don't see your name. He sees the name of Jesus. Hello? Your name has been changed. So God used an encourager to affirm Paul, to affirm his ministry. And he would go on to bring this gospel to parts where no one else went. He took it in a fashion and revealed the mysteries and the decoding of the kingdom of God. Because he received the teaching directly from Christ. And the word was released from the Lord directly to him. Amen? But it took a man to affirm. I want to ask, maybe God is going to use you to affirm somebody. But I want to say, hold on, don't clap yet. Don't clap yet. You better get your act together. Because when you go to certain rooms, they're not going to listen to you. Because they're going to say, you don't have no integrity. You don't have no standards. You're always in trouble. You're always in gossip. You're always babbling. We can't take you serious. You use your words to tear down. Instead of building, we can't listen to you. We don't see you encouraging anybody around here. We can't listen to you. But let's be a son and a daughter of encouragement. And people are going to listen to you. Get your character in order. Get your character in order. A lot of times people wonder why they can't get positions in the church. Your character. Not in order. Not gifts. Gifts are without repentance. But your character. Your character is what gets you to places. Amen? In God, it is different. In God, it is different. We have to bear the fruit of the Spirit. So, he was a man of good character. He was blameless. He was upright. That they could have received what he said about the apostle Paul, the chief encourager. Now, let's look at the next point. When the church was growing over in Acts 11:22. This man, and as I was preparing, I was thinking, if I went to one of Barnabas, one of his church service, man, this man was such an encourager. You could only walk out feeling uplifted. You could only walk out feeling blessed because of his character, who he was. Amen? Acts 11:22. Now the news of these things came to the ears of the church, back to the apostles again, in Jerusalem, and they sent, somebody say sent, sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. You know what that means? This man was trustworthy. The church of Jesus was growing. You don't need a disciplinarian to go. You need someone that will continue to encourage the people to do the work. When things need to be set in order, you need a Titus. Paul said, I leave you over there so that you could put things in order. But here the church is growing. That's why evangelists are so fiery. And they come and they sweep the place and everybody gets excited and you're ready to do the work of the Lord. You ever notice when you get around an evangelist, everybody wants to win souls? Because they're big soul winners. Right? But they sent out Barnabas. Because they could have trusted him to do the right thing. They could have depended on him. And when he goes down to these new churches, what needs to be done is what exactly will happen. When he came and had seen the grace of God, 23, he was what? Glad. The man was what? When something good has happened, you don't need sourpuss to show up. You need somebody that will come and add wood to the fire. Somebody that will come and say, man, let's sing a little more. Let's dance a little more. Let's clap a little louder. Let's shout a little louder. Because God has released great grace in this place. When he saw the grace of God, the man was glad. And he what? Encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should what? Continue in the. Did he discourage them? No. He went and he encouraged. He not only encouraged people with money, he not only encouraged Paul, but he encouraged the church. They could have trusted him to send him, knowing when we send Barnabas out, things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. People are going to be lifted up. People are going to be lifted up. Imagine they sent out someone, and when they went, all the people got discouraged. Everybody fall away from the Lord. What are we doing here, really? What are we doing, really? That's why even companies, a lot of times you look at companies and they send people out. It's people over there 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. They send them to go start or manage another branch. They're not going to take the guy. He can have the greatest degree and everything, but they're not sending him out with the interest of the company. No, they have to find people that are trustworthy, people that have the brand in mind. Some people just want the money, but there's some people that have the brand in mind where it's beyond their interests. It's beyond their interests. It's about the interests of the brand. So if with the church of God, we have to have people that have the brand in mind. You gotta have, if you're gonna be a leader of faith, you gotta live, you gotta sleep, you gotta wake up, you gotta think about faith church all the time. And that's what I do. I'm on vacation, my kids look at me, and they're like, oh, there's a church. I say, hey, you shut up. I say, you never let the devil tempt you to say things like that again. I said, the work of God. This is the work that God has given to your father to do. And it's about lives. It's about people's purpose. And the devil's not going to rob them. I am set as a watchman to take care of God's church. He said, I'll give shepherds after my own heart. So don't hate me for fulfilling my duty. Don't have a problem with me loving God's church, because he loves his church and he has given. I better love his church. I'm going to be in problem with him. So they sent a man that will what? Encourage the church. A man that will give the people words that will push them on with the work of God. Amen. So this is the ministry of encouragement. Verse 24. I love this one. For Barnabas was what kind of man? He was a good man. Now you hear things like a few good men. I want it to be where we have many good men. Amen? We got to, now I'm talking about men and women now. We got to have many good people in the church. We must not be able to count it on one hand. No, man, when we say Sister Jane, oh, she's a good girl. Oh, Sister Esther, she's a good girl. Sister Paulette, she's a good people, man. Because we got to be filled with the Spirit of God. If we're filled with the Spirit of God, automatically we're supposed to become good people. Are you with me? He was a good man. What was he? Full of the Holy Spirit. The man was full of the Holy Ghost. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you can't encourage. Let me tell you that. You can't encourage nobody because you know what? You're going to be all up in your fields. You're going to be walking in the flesh. But when you are full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be walking according to Romans 8. It says what? Walk in the Spirit. When you're going to work, you're walking in the Spirit. When you're going shopping, you're walking in the Spirit. When you're taking the bus, you're rolling in the Spirit. So that at any time you meet someone, you're ready to encourage them. You're ready to uplift them. You're ready to add a word that will make their day better. But if you're not Spirit-filled, you'll be cumbered about yourself. And all you're thinking about is how you're going to take care of me, myself, and I. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Guess what? Jesus knows what I'm going through.
Oh, yeah.
And his word says, casting every care upon him because he cares. What? He what? He cares for me. So he was full of the Spirit and he was a man of faith. Meaning he is believing for the impossible. He is believing for the impossible. When you're not walking by faith, you're just walking with this right here. But when you're walking by faith, you're walking now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above we can ask, think, or imagine. As far as my imagination goes, God wants to do more than that. Are you with me? So these are the qualities of encouragers. They got to be good people. Got to be full of the Spirit. And they got to walk by faith. The Bible said the just shall live by what?
Faith.
They that are justified shall live by faith. Being divinely persuaded that God is able to do what he said he will do. So today, let the ministry of encouragement work in us. I just want to give you two quick caution. Be careful now what you encourage. Be careful what you encourage. Don't encourage laziness. Don't encourage bad behavior. Don't encourage loose lips. Don't encourage thinking evil of others. You with me? Encouragers do not go with the flow. Encouragers do not go with the flow. Now, I'm going to wait. Are we done? That's it? You're done? All right, come quickly. Quickly, I just want to get this in. And we're going to wrap it up. Go ahead. Encouragers do not go with the flow. They have standards. Encouragers have standards. What is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. Not because you're an encourager. No, people can run over you. You with me? So, why this caution? When I was preparing, I thought about Aaron, the priest. When Moses went up to the mountain to hear from God, talk from God, and to get the laws written, the people got tired of waiting. And they looked at Aaron, and they said, Aaron, make us a God. Because we don't know what has become with this Moses. You know what Aaron says? Okay. He said, bring me your earrings, bring me the gold. And let me make you a God. You know, encouragers, you got to be careful. You have to be careful that you do not encourage the wrong things. Are you with me? So God wants to use the ministry of encouragement, but we also must be cautious. The Bible says, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Meaning, you are sharp. You are patient. You don't rush. When the people said they wanted God, Aaron just said, okay, let me build your God. So let us be careful what it is we encourage. That is the flip side. Be someone that God can depend on, someone that is disciplined, someone that is focused. Because when you become sloppy, look at this. 2 Timothy 2:17 and 18 says, and their message will spread like cancer. Or the proper translation for that word is gangrene. Good things take a while to spread. But when you encourage the wrong thing, spreads like wildfire. It takes so long to get somebody to come with you to the house of God, but to get somebody to go to Six Flags in summertime, everybody want to go for a ride. Isn't that the truth? It's easy. The things of God will take time. That's why we got to be careful what we encourage. We got to be careful what it is we encourage. It says their cancer will spread like cancer or gangrene. And the only way to get rid of gangrene is to cut it off. Because there's nothing to stop it. Got to cut it off. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the what? Truth. Saying that the resurrection is already past and they overthrow. Look at this. This is what I want you to see. Where's that scripture? Come on, guys. 2 Timothy. Okay, there we go. Look at the result. They overthrow the faith of some. When you encourage the wrong things, it affects people. When you murmur, when you backbite, when you gossip, you may not be the one that is overthrown, but somebody else is going to be overthrown. That's why we got to be careful what it is we encourage in the church. The Bible said, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are wholesome, that is what we must encourage in the church. When you look at the life of Barnabas, he gave. He affirmed the work of God in people. He went and he encouraged the church. He walked by faith. He was a good man. He was a man that was pure, a man that was upright, living a spirit-filled life. Are you walking with me? So we got to be careful. But somebody needs to say, Lord, make me an encourager. Let me be someone that encourages people to live for you, to serve in your kingdom. Somebody that upholds the church. Somebody that builds the church up. Somebody that adds to people's life. Someone that is generous. Someone that is caring. It takes a heart of care to give your treasure. Amen? Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Trust you got something today. If you got something, can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you all the glory and the honor. Thank you for what you spoke to us today. Spirit of the living God, make us Barnabases. Make me a Barnabas. Someone that will encourage someone. A son of encouragement. A daughter of encouragement. I pray, God, in weeks to come, we will just see this ministry just thrive in the church. The ministry of encouragement. Picking people up, pushing them into their destiny, letting them know they can make it, that they're not alone, but we are all members of the same body. We belong one to another.